Today, we're in week number two of this series called Revival Isn't Coming. There was a pastor here from CRC this week. As he was picking up the clothes, he turned and he saw that shirt like out in the lobby. He was like, "Revival is coming." And I was like, "No, that's not what it says." And so he squinted a little harder because he's a little older. And he said, "Isn't?" Well, what does that mean, Pastor Billy? And that's exactly why we get those shirts that make people think a little bit deeper, right? Just like the one that said Jesus got off his donkey. and so we have those shirts on our website. If you click the merch button, we don't print a ton of them so that we don't have a lot of extra. And so you go and you print, you click that merch button and you can actually order it, whether in red or white or anything like that. But we've been going with this thought that revival isn't coming, that it's calling. And what it's calling of us and what it's asking of us and how we get to respond. And so last week, we started off just talking about something that sometimes can feel overwhelming, but we said revival doesn't start with packed rooms. It doesn't start with powerful moments. It starts with just a simple, surrendered, humble heart. That if we can humbly pray, if we can, and we focused in on scripture that talked about us, like if God's people would turn from their wicked ways, right? He doesn't go after the city first, he goes after his people. But today, of course, I have a follow-up question because we're going to be talking about this for 4 weeks. And so the follow-up question today, and if you're following along in the app, there's the sermon notes. If you don't have that, point to the QR code that's on the seat in front of you and just text in the word app and you'll get all the links sent right to you. But if you're following along in there, the question is this: what does it actually look like to live like revival is already here? Right? What does it look like to live like it's already here? We're going to be in Acts chapter 2 today, and the scriptures will be on the screen or they're there in the sermon notes if you're following along, because the tension is that a lot of churches will pray for revival, right? They'll ask God, "Please send revival. Revive us even, O Lord." But how many live like it's already here? That's my challenge for us today. Like, we're really good at asking God to move, but the early church didn't ask just for God to move. They didn't wait for God to move. They lived every single day. It wasn't just a Sunday morning thing. It wasn't just a once a week gathering. That's the kind of life, though, that changed the world. That's the kind that got the gospel from the Middle East to us. And I'm wondering, where's it going to go from there? Where's it going to go because of us, right? And so if you've got your Bibles or if you're looking at the screen today, we're going to be in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. And so we got five quick verses. It says, "All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to the fellowship, and to the sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer." It says, "A deep sense of awe came over them, and the apostles performed miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and they shared meals with great joy and generosity, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved." So it's not talking just about a special event. It's not talking about a conference. This is just ordinary people living an extraordinary kind of life each and every day. And God bless that. Every day, people were being added to their number. And so the first point that I want to make here today is that revival looks like devotion. It looks like devotion, not hype, right? In verse 42, it says that they devoted themselves, right? It wasn't just, "Oh, when I feel like it, oh, when it makes sense, oh," they were devoted to it. It wasn't on occasion, a special occasion. It wasn't when it was only convenient, not when life slowed down and it just wasn't busy, right? It wasn't just when I could fit it in. It says that they were devoted to God's word, that they were devoted to prayer, that they were devoted to fellowship, they were devoted to communion. See, revival didn't happen because they were emotional. It happened because they were consistent. there was a consistency, and the momentum had a chance to build. That's why I've hated some of these snow Sundays where you've had to cancel like the first service. And we started to hit a momentum going in out of December into January and then snow day. And then we'd build up and then snow day. I'm like, no, stop it. You're supposed to snow during the week. That's me and the clouds had a conversation. I know. See, we often think that revival starts when people get fired up, when people get excited, but revival lasts when people get faithful. That daily time with God, spending time with Him, hearing from Him, letting His Word speak. Everybody wants to say, well, I want to hear the audible voice of God. Well, He wrote it down for you for a reason. It's there for us to hear. And to know and to read, and talks about the Holy Spirit bringing His Word back to remembrance for us. But if we never put it in, if it's up to one guy to be the only person putting it in, then there's not going to be much. But that daily time in His Word, seeking, letting His Word be the lamp into our feet and the light into our path that it promises to be, let it not returning void in our lives. So many times, there's still, it's amazing. I've been a few more years on this earth, and I try to read through the Bible each and every year. But it seems like every day there's something fresh. There's something that I needed. And there's been times where I've even talked with Mandy, like, where'd that come from? I don't remember that being there in this story. I've never highlighted that before. Like, I use a different color highlighter every year, and I find myself highlighting different things, because God speaks into the situations that we're going through on a daily basis. Sometimes it's different year after year, even though it's the same passage. That regular prayer, that commitment to Scripture, not just a boring Christianity where we come in, we punch in, we do our time, right? That's what a lot of people have made a commitment to a church that, oh, I come, I got my gold star for the week, I was present, right? They did roll call and I was able to say, I'm here. But what happens when it's a devotion, right? See, real revival creates authentic community. Right? Not just Acts 2 doesn't describe just a crowd coming together. It describes this family. Sorry, it's community right there, but I wanted the letters to still be big for you, because a community is a big deal. It says that they met together, that they shared meals, that they met in home. See, it wasn't that they showed up late and made sure that they didn't talk to anybody and got in and got their seat that they sit in every single week and said, nobody talk to me, right? That wasn't it. They rubbed shoulders with one another. They did life together. It wasn't anonymous church attendance. Okay, I'm here, but I don't really know anybody type of Christianity. It was I'm getting involved in others' lives. I'm inviting them into mine. We're doing this life together. Something that culture gets wrong. We talked about it in the last series, how isolation, like we can feel safe when we're isolated, that nobody can harm us, nobody can get to us, and that's where the enemy loves to get to us. It's where we only listen to his voice. But what it actually does is weaken us. The early church understood many times what we've forgotten, that faith grows best when we're with other believers, when we're walking together, right? That's sometimes how your patience is growing, because you're putting up with that person, right? I'm just saying. We don't grow sitting in rows alone. We grow by sitting around tables together. See, revival thrives when people are known, when people are loved, when people are challenged, but also when people are supported, when they know that they have that support. Number three today is that generosity is always a sign of revival. Verse 45 says that they sold their possession to meet the needs. I think that was that both Mount Hope with Hands of Hope. They were in here this week to pick up all the household goods that you guys, you heard of a need that was in our city, and you knew you had household items that were just clogging up arteries in your life, right? And some of you, you went through at the beginning of the year, you said, you know what, I haven't worn this since high school. And you got rid of it because you were never going to be that size again. Or you never wanted to wear those bell bottoms again. And I totally understand. But you saw those things and you were like, if there's people that are in need, I don't need 45 different jackets. Some of you dropped off backpacks. He was going through and he was almost in tears. He was like, I know who's going to need this. See, Mark from CRC, he's down there every Wednesday at LTHC when many of us are at work. And he takes items. He was so thankful. Like the lobby this week was all, there was like Moses had parted the waters. All the clothes were on one side and all the appliances were on the other. That's Acts 2, right? That's us getting rid of the things that we thought would make us happy and getting it out there to those that are in need. I want to thank you guys again for being that. Because revival changes what we value, right? If there's people that are in need, we get to step up to the plate. We get to step up. We get to give and support the kids through Destiny Rescue and be ones that are rescuing on a regular basis. So I see some of these things sparking even in our church. Because when God has your heart, He has your hands as well. When God has our life, generosity becomes a part. We look forward to those opportunities. I remember when we were getting ready to do Operation Christmas Child Boxes, right? And there's always that, is it coming? Are we doing it again this year? Hey, Pastor, are we getting boxes? And that's usually Jeannie, right? Jeannie's like, hey, yeah, can we order more boxes this year? I think we can do double what we did. And we're like, Jeannie, your car's only so big. She's like, I don't care, I'll get more cars. And can we help more children experience the gift of Christmas through just a simple shoebox? See, they weren't pressured. They weren't manipulated. They were motivated by love. That's why I love to not like have these long, drawn out, like giving spiels and stuff and then like pass a plate and put it in your hands and make you feel the weight of an empty plate or see what everybody else gave. It's not about that. We love to celebrate your faithfulness and talk about what it's doing, not only in this place, but also all across the world. See, revival loosens our grip on stuff and it tightens our grip on people. Who can we help next? Who can we serve next? And the fact is that a changed life draws people in. When people see others that are living a selfless life instead of a selfish life, that's what happened here in Acts. It said people weren't drawn by a marketing strategy. They were drawn by a different way of living. It says by the time in verse 47, it says they enjoyed the goodwill of all the people. Not going to goodwill where there's a bunch of people, just to clear that up. But they enjoyed the goodwill of all the people. Right? What does that look like? Right? We know the Christians that are opposite of that. But shouldn't we be known more by what we're for than what we're against? If all we do is run around and bark about all the things that we hate in this world, why would the world ever want to be with us? See, God was moving here in Acts 2. And He wants to move in me and you. And I didn't even try to rhyme that. But He enjoyed the goodwill of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily. See, a different way of living, right, was the thing that was attractive because of their joy, because of their unity, not because they could gossip about one another, not because it was a woe is me society. By the way, there was plenty of persecution that was going on during this time. If we read through other parts in Acts, we see the disciples being thrown into prison, but God's still adding to them. And they're still joyous even in the being thrown into prison part. But it was through joy, through unity, through generosity, through authenticity. See, people aren't looking for a church that's just talking about revival, right? They're looking for people who live differently, who act differently, who talk differently. Those that would be willing to pray for their enemies, to pray for those that persecute you, to love those, to bless those. A church, a changed life draws people in. See, this church that I read here about in Acts, they were ones that didn't wait for revival. See, the early church didn't wait for revival to come to them. They lived like it was already here. Well, how is that? They didn't ask, you know, what's it going to cost me? They asked, how can I love somebody else better? They didn't say, you know, I'll get serious about this stuff later. They said, you know what, I'll be faithful today. It's not an event. I know many times we've seen the tent revivals, right? And the revival nights. But is it that? It's not what we see here through Scripture, that it's not an event that we attend. It's a lifestyle that we get to choose to live. So I really love my live illustrations, but today the fire department really didn't love my live illustration because I was trying to like set off fireworks in here, right? I mean, it sounded really excited, just pointing Roman candles, but the sprinkler system would come on and everybody would get wet and things would get ruined. And so my wife, I didn't even run it past my wife because I knew she'd say no. But I'm pretty sure we all know what fireworks look like, right? You can, ooh, right? They go, you've been out here watching fireworks plenty of times. It has happened, red, white, and boom, each and every year we've done it. And we've seen that, and everybody goes, ooh, right? We go, ah, right? We love looking at the fireworks. They're big, they're loud, they're bright. It gets emotional, right? And that's how a lot of people think revival is. It's big, it's loud, it's bright, it's emotional, right? It explodes in the sky, and everybody looks, and everybody watches, and everybody says, wow. But you know what? After a few seconds, it's gone. After that big poof, after that big explosion, it's gone. They're exciting, but fireworks don't keep you warm. They don't cook your food. They don't last that long. The other visual that I wanted to do, I couldn't figure out how to not set off the smoke detectors, and so I didn't do it live today, I'm sorry, is a campfire, right? You make that little log cabin or teepee, however you make your campfire fires, that's up to you. I know everybody has their own preference, right? I like the log cabin though. It reminds me of Lincoln Logs coming together, right? And you stack those. And it's not flashy, right? There's no explosions. There's no crowds going, ooh, ah, right? Cheering it on, right? But the fact is, beautiful campfire, you can sit around. You can warm your hands. You can cook a meal over it. You can stay all throughout the night as you keep feeding it. It doesn't burn out. There's a consistency. There's a warmth that continues to grow. See, fireworks are great at making memories. Many a times we can remember all the different fireworks that have happened. Fireworks shows, maybe not just the the visual ones in our lives, right? But campfires can change lives. Campfires can save lives. And a lot of churches want those firework moments, right? That one big service, that one big emotional altar call, that one powerful night that we can all look back on, and I'm not knocking those. But I'm wondering if we shouldn't live like a firework here today and gone tomorrow. But what happens when we live like a campfire, when we gather and we stoke that fire daily, and we add to it daily, coming together and building up layer after layer, not just an emotional Sunday service. Those are great. But what happens when we meet together as the body of Christ, when we pray for one another, when we're checking in on one another, when we're doing and gathering and have meals together, when there's generosity for one another, when there's community for one another. See, revival wasn't something that they visited. It was something that they nurtured. It was something that they maintained. So what happens when we ask ourselves, are we chasing spiritual fireworks? Or are we tending to a daily fire? Are we putting another log on? Are we diligent in saying, you know what? Come over to my house this Thursday afternoon. Well, I just met you here on Sunday. It's okay. You're a cool enough person. You've got the same bagel that I got. We're good. I trust you, right? Right? You're drinking Dr. Pepper here today too, right? I got you, right? Got plenty at my house, right? See, fireworks don't require much responsibility, right? You just show up and watch, right? There's the professionals that are setting off the fireworks, and you just get to sit back and relax. Well, I am sorry, you're in the wrong place for that. You are. And I actually have a clipboard, and one I'm going to start on this side, and the other I'm going to start over on this side. How are you guys doing today? Good to see you. But many times, and the clipboards that you have in your hands, is, you know what sustains? What's another log on the fire? We've said for a while, you know, that we're outgrowing the rest of our building. Right here, we're doing okay, but we're outgrowing our parking lot. We're outgrowing our services. And in order to step into what's next as a church, and in order to expand the facilities, we're going to need to add some more services. As fireworks don't require responsibility, but a campfire does. It takes time, it takes intentionality, it takes a commitment, it takes fuel. If you don't feed it, it dies. If you neglect it, it fades. That's why revival doesn't start on hype, it survives on habits. People saying, you know what, I'm showing up. I'm giving of myself for others. If revival really looks like this, then it can't stay theoretical. It has to get practical. It has to involve us giving of ourselves just as much as we're getting. And so what you're seeing on the clipboards as passed around is, you know what? What does it require of us? What does it require of innovation to continue to grow, to continue to reach more people? Well, we know that it takes us. As much as we sit, we also serve. And so that's what that clipboard's all about. It's where can you serve? These are the categories and areas that we know we need a stronger bench, a stronger team, more that are willing to give of themselves, so that others may be revived, may be filled, some of them finding Jesus for the first time, especially in some of those age groups that are on there. Could it be many times that revival hasn't lasted? Not because God stopped working, because we stopped tending the fire. We stopped caring about others. We stopped loving others. Stopped having our time with God. We stopped making it a daily thing that we read about here in Acts, and we just made it a weekly thing. And we sit more than we serve. What happens if this week wasn't a firework moment? But what if it was, I'm going to put another log on the fire. I'm going to open up my life. Some of these people that I don't know in this room, I'm going to get to know. I'm going to get coffee with them. I'm going to get lunch with them. I'm going to share a meal. I'm going to pray for them. That's how revival stays alive. That's how revival, we get to live it out like it's actually here. I'd like to tell you it's simple, but it's not easy. It's not easy to share a meal with somebody that you don't know, or pray with somebody that you just met, or to meet a real need, or to open up your own home. But what happens when we do that? Well, we see this recipe playing out as we read through Acts, that the Lord added to them daily. See, we can pray for our city all we want. We can pray for revival all we want. But if we don't actually look at the scriptures and live them out, then nothing changes. See, revival doesn't spread through stages. It spreads through relationships. So, maybe I'll close off with a question. Are we waiting for revival? Or is it time to live like it's already here? Time to be committed to serve one another. To go outside of our own comfort zones and our walls that we've built up. Because God isn't waiting for better circumstances. He's waiting on surrendered and obedient people. Because if we want these Acts 2 results, oh, this early church, then we probably should live out Acts 2 live. We should probably be devoted. We should probably gather with others, not just on a Sunday, but daily. We should probably give of ourselves and be just like Jesus, who didn't come to be served, but came to serve. I believe when we do that, we see those exact same results that they saw in Acts 2. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. As we close off and examine our hearts and lives, God, what you've been stirring up in us, the word that you led us to today. God, we don't want to be people that just pray for revival. Help us be people that live it. God, forgive us for settling into a comfortable Christianity where we've made it about a service instead of about us serving. Forgive us for choosing convenience over devotion. For isolating when you've called us into community. Jesus, would you teach us to live differently? Teach us to love deeply, even those who are hard to love. To open our lives to others. To let people in. Not do life alone. God, we ask that you use our homes, that you use our tables, that you use our prayers and our generosity to show this world what you're really like. Heavenly Father, I pray that revival would not just happen around us, but that it would happen through us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.